And welcome to the Grace Hour, this brand new week, Monday afternoon, live here from Baltimore, Maryland. And we have a real treat for you today. We're going to be hearing a message from the founder and host of the Grace Hour, Pastor Stevens. And we just started doing something a little bit different. We're going to be breaking it up into three segments, the message, and then having a discussion between each one. And we did it last week with Pastor Shaw and Pastor Love. It was excellent. So we're going to do that again today. Then when the segment's over, feel free to give us a call with any questions or comments. Toll free in the United States and Canada, 1-800-338-7060. And then in Baltimore, outside the United States, 410-483-3700. And as you know, we're on Facebook and YouTube, so you can also give us any comments on either of those mediums. So without further ado, let's go to the message today from Pastor Stevens on wisdom.
Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The charming woman wins respect. Maybe she's an Esther that is true to God and is used of God to help Israel, the nation of Israel, in Esther 9, 12 to 13 through to 25. Or maybe she's an unblemished Ruth in 3:11. Or a Deborah in Judges 4:4 and 5:7. Maybe she's a woman who has adorned herself with inward doctrine of categories and inward beauty of truth in 1 Timothy 2, 9 to 10 and 1 Peter 3, 4. When her external accomplishments have faded and her outward looks and design have gone, shining forth from her soul is the beauty of the Word and the power of the Spirit. May be that she has the character of Proverbs 31, 25. She wins her children at 31:28, and wins her husband at 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. Maybe she's that kind of a person. Maybe she's a Mary that kneels at Jesus' feet in Luke 10:39. But this type of woman who has inward beauty, like Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mother and grandmother, in 2 Timothy 1:5 and 3:15, and these two women, though Eunice made a mistake, but these two women were beautiful women because of doctrine. So a woman that's filled with inward beauty and inward love and inward grace is obviously a woman that is the most charming lady in any situation. Inner beauty. Phoebe in Rome, in Romans 16, 2 to 6, how she helped with the church. Lydia in Acts 16. Women who have been the backbone of churches, the backbone of pioneering, the backbone of revival, the backbone of prayer, the backbone of winning alcoholic husbands, the backbone of salvaging insecure men, the backbone of rearing up children. The Hannah that brought Samuel to the altar to dedicate him and leave him at a young age and came just once a year to bring him his beautiful little coat that she prepared for him. And so this is a beautiful passage. It deals with a gracious woman, one that is not reactionary, one that does not gossip, a gracious woman, one that does not verbalize her differences in order to express her egocentric nature. But a woman that is filled with tranquility, a woman that does not quit. And this is the beautiful principle here. I was thinking, you know, places are not sacred, but places that remind us of relationships are sacred. It's the relationships that are sacred, not the places. The places remind us of our relationships. I was thinking of some places that remind me of some relationships because people were gracious. Spots that are dear. I was thinking of, for example, have you ever thought of any piece of furniture in your house that meant something because of a relationship? I thought of a chair. And it was a very special chair because it was the only chair my mother would ever sit in. I loved her so much. Come home, and after she did her work, she'd be in that little chair. And she was peculiar in a way because that was the only chair that she preferred. I mean, if she had a sofa, she wouldn't take it. She took this hardwood chair. And she always liked the chair, that chair. And if she was not in the kitchen working, she would be in that chair. So that chair was a place that reminded me of a relationship. You know, had a place in our little farm on a hill. My brother always went there and sat, and he always had a tough time in life. He was in the service and came out and had a nervous breakdown, and his wife went out on him, and he was one member of the family that always seemed to have the bad breaks. So before he was getting nervous with the only nervous breakdown anybody in the family ever had, he would go out in that field, and I'd go out there, and he'd be sitting down on a certain rock. He couldn't figure things out. He just couldn't figure out why his wife was going out on him. He could not figure out why he was feeling the way he felt, why he couldn't recover. Finally, he ended up in Togas for 6 months, the Veterans Hospital. But that little place where he sat under those circumstances, I thought about it the other day. There's always a place that you relate to that is meaningful. Your mother's grave, my wife's grave, my brother's grave, my sister's grave. It isn't the grave that's significant. It's the reminder of a relationship. I'll tell you something else, and this is very true, pertaining to people being gracious. You know, literally, most people do not realize the value of what they have until it's over. Most people do not realize the value of what they have until the experience is ended. Before it is ended, it should become dear to us.
So that's the first part of our session on this Grace Hour, and it's quite a few thoughts that Pastor gave that are very practical, Pastor Sliva. The first one was gracious women, and he mentioned Ruth. Pastor mentioned Hannah with Samuel. And then Phoebe in Romans 16. And, of course, I was thinking about my wife, and it's a pretty amazing thing that God has given us husbands, gracious wives. That's such an amazing gift to the body of Christ. Phoebe, if you turn to Romans 16, I loved, and it's interesting, in Romans 16, and Pastor Tom, you can jump in here anytime you want, but in Romans 16, right off the get-go, the very first person he mentioned, Paul mentioned, he said, I commend you unto you, Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church. What a compliment for a woman of God. Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church. And that really kind of encapsulates a gracious woman, a woman that just serves the church.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this verse this morning in Hebrews 12. I could have it wrong, but therefore we having a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace that we may serve God effectually with reverence and godly fear. And I was thinking about, you know, the idea of service and the idea of a gracious woman. A gracious woman is full of grace. She's a lady that, I think of these ladies mentioned. I also think of my wife, and I think grace is a sign of maturity in a woman, and also in a man, of course. And it's not easily learned experientially. We learn it biblically, but through many situations and many things that our wives have been through, you know, my wife has become a very gracious lady, and so I don't have much more to say.
No, that's great. That's so. That was the first part, and then the other thought, just to tag on to that, is that it's in Proverbs 31:12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. But that kind of segued into how we relate, a place that we relate to as a reminder of a relationship. And then the last thing he said, which I thought was very poignant, was most people don't realize the value of a relationship until after it has ended.
Yeah.
Most people don't realize the value of a relationship until after it's ended. And we're going to be hearing a little bit more about that in the next clip. So why don't we go to that right now?
You picture yourself years from now, and you no longer have a lot of people that love God around you. And it's time, and you're willing to accept God's perfect will, and you're prepared to do it. But I'll guarantee you that in the midst of certain battles, you'll remember what it was like to be here. I promise you that. And things that were said will come back to you. Fellowship that was enriched will be endeared by its absence. So often we have to wait until an experience is ended before it becomes dear to us. The treasure in the future is something that we didn't think about very much right now. Something that doesn't mean much to you now will be a treasure to you in the future, just as sure as you're breathing. Character enables us to appreciate the present time. Character enables us to appreciate the present things. If you have no character, you won't appreciate the things that go on now, but you'll have a tendency to appreciate them after they're all over, if you lack character. My good friend and your good friend, Ed Massery, was operated on for cancer, you recall? And now Ed has found out that he has more cancer. But you see, how serious his cancer is, I do not know. But he has cancer. He is not rid of it. And the relationship with a person like Ed has been very dear. Roman Catholic, loves God, born again, saved, I think filled with the Spirit, and a man who knows how to love people, who knows how to be a friend, who knows how to be true, who always stands up against negativity. And I was thinking this morning, preparing this message, how gracious he is. He's a gracious man. I enjoy gracious people, and gracious people that have character, that have real character. There's no one that can compare with a gracious woman, but the one that can manifest Christ, perhaps as a male, is the gentle man. Often, it isn't the pulpit that's sacred. When I look at this pulpit, there's nothing about this piece of wood that's sacred. Don't misunderstand me. But what it's used for is sacred. You see, what it is used for is sacred. Think of this pulpit. I don't think of a piece of wood. I think of the many messages that have been preached, and this pulpit has been used for that Bible to lay and for these hands to touch. It's the message, because of our relationship to Jesus Christ, that is sacred. And the revelation of a gracious God, the revelation of a loving God. May I say this? The things that one is now doing will someday become dear to you. The rearing up of children. Take it for granted when you rear them up. But someday, little things that happen will become so dear to you. As you recall, the child asking for a cookie, or crying because he was hurt, or explaining something to him that seemed to release him. All of these things are part of somebody who, through the grace of God, has character. We need character through graciousness in everything we do. And we need to enjoy what we're doing now. Measure your relationship now. Measure your relationships now. Measure your relationships now through graciousness. And here's the principle. Somebody has said, one preacher said once, anyone can measure a tree when it is fallen, but measure the tree when it is standing. And that's a good word. And so I think it's so important to learn to make the gifts what they ought to be to people. A long time ago, I've told it to you, and I'm going to say it again because I'm in the mood to say it again. And try giving yourself away. Somebody in the secular world wrote a book on that once. Start out early in the morning with God, receiving help, receiving grace, receiving mercy. Instead of protecting your family and your little flock all the time and thinking that you're the only ones that count, you use the body to help what you're interested in. Instead of having that be your motive, try giving yourself away to people. Find a way to give yourself away. That's graciousness. That's the spirit of graciousness that retains honor. Have you ever tried to give yourself away to your partner? To God? To your ministry? To people that need you? Try giving yourself away for the cause of Christ, for the work of God. Make sure your gifts have the quality of love that they ought to have. Friendship is a tremendous gift. It's a beautiful gift, friendship. So make sure that in your friendships that you can be what you ought to be as a gift to someone else in friendship. A gracious woman, C-H-E-N, a gracious. It's pronounced Cain, but it's C-H-E-N. Well-favored, always giving.
Well, there you go. The second clip here, and boy, even just continues to build on this thought about the treasure in the future is something we don't think about much now, and maybe that's really true, Pastor Tom. Of I think when we're younger, we really don't value things the way we do. As we get older in life, maybe children don't value their parents. They don't treasure. They don't appreciate the time and the sacrifice that their parents put out for them in order to raise them. But he said this other thing. He said, "Character enables us to appreciate the present things, but it's character." It's what's the substance in my heart. If I have an empty soul, then I'm not going to appreciate what I have. I might have a lot. I might have a lot of material things. I might have a lot of relationships. But if the content of my soul is in Christ, I really won't appreciate all the things that God has given me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good word. I have this very good word from Pastor. You know, yeah, I think the idea of character is something that takes time to happen in a person's life. And of course, we understand how it goes as a Christian through trials and testings. God builds character into our lives. If you know, and I think then it does something. And I would say the word appreciates is a good word, because it does something to our emotions. It settles us, you know. It establishes us and settles us, so that we can actually, our emotions can actually function properly, which is to appreciate. I don't think appreciation was a part of my life until I was way older, and had seen a few things and been through a few things. And also, I loved what Pastor Stevens was also saying about, you know, seeing a great and loving and gracious God from, you know, from the messages, from the pulpit, it makes us realize that there's something that is normal in the sense of the Christian life, and that is that we see love, we have love, we have grace, we appreciate things, we appreciate people. And then I think also then last thought would be, you know, why not appreciate them now? Like, why not appreciate the fact that I'm sitting here in a grace hour and enjoying my time here, you know, rather than, you know, waiting till 2 weeks later and thinking back on it. No, we can enjoy it right now. We're enjoying the fellowship here with you, Pastor Sturge, Sebastian. Yeah, we're just enjoying our time. And so, anyhow, it's great thoughts. Pastor was so deep. Such a great, great portion.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It makes me think of what Jim Elliot said. Once, one of my favorite quotes, he said, "Wherever you are, be all there." Isn't that good? Wherever you are, be all there.
Yeah.
And I was thinking in our marriages how I've grown, and we've grown over the years, to when we're with our wives, to be all there with them, to give them our undivided attention. And we can remember when we were younger, just kind of like, you know, we're so busy, maybe busy with the kids, busy with the job, busy with everything, and not really like being there with our wives, but not really being there with them. And that is so important in the relationships, isn't it?
Yeah.
That whoever you're with, that you're 100% there with them. And isn't that the way the Lord is with us? You know,
yes.
He gives us his undivided attention when we pray.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and another aspect to go along with that is, I remember Dr. Stevens doing a whole series of messages on keeping your heart on fire. And, you know, to be honest with you, when he was doing those messages, I was thinking, what the heck is he talking about? Like, I don't even know what he was talking about. But I think I'm realizing more that it's so important that I would keep my heart on fire. And some of the ways that he gave to do that were exactly what we're talking about today, is, you know, taking time to remember a loved one like that. See, like, that is something that we would never do. Like, we would just skip through life, especially in America. We're skipping through life, you know, like, I'm busy, you know. But maybe, can we take a half an hour and think about our mother, you know, you know, the chair she sat in, and, you know, just like what she liked. Some of the things, I often think of my mom, I think of some of her pet phrases that she used to say, and I get a tear in my eye, you know, when I think about that, you know, because she was so precious, and we didn't know it, you know. I kick myself every day, but I didn't know it when she was here. But I think back on her, and I think, my gosh, what a precious lady. So I love this message. This is about keeping our hearts soft and, you know, warm, you know.
Towards, it really is.
You know.
It really is.
I love it.
Pastor Tom, it's just, I mean, I
isn't that
it is so true. And I, you know, here we are talking about Pastor Stephen's message, but how many times just a look from Pastor Stephen's or his hand on our shoulder and just the touch of God through our pastor, and how many memories do we have over the years?
You know,
people that mentored us, people that invested in our lives over the years, and we have so many memories that warm our heart.
Yeah,
don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But I love too what he said. The physical pulpit isn't sacred, but what it has been used for is sacred. That was precious. The physical pulpit that I'm preaching on, Pastor said, it's not sacred, but what has been used for is sacred. A place for the Bible to lay the anointed message of a gracious God to be shared. And speaking of the Bible, how about our relationship with our Bibles?
Mm.
Huh? What about the memories? Like I think of the tears that are in my Bible.
Mm.
I do. I think of the tears that have fallen on my Bible when I've read it. And I think of what this book means to me. It warms my heart every time we open it up in the Spirit and we read it. We have a history with our Bible as well, don't we?
Yes. That's beautiful.
Wow. Well, let's continue to the third clip.
You know, our satisfaction in life, if we're gracious, is not to be love, but to love. We get our satisfaction out of loving, not being love, but loving. This kind of love does not stop when it is not reciprocated. It does not stop when it's not reciprocated. Do you know most love knows no degree of availability? Most love knows no degree of availability. Acquiring the relationship to many people means more than the relationship itself. You've seen people that want relationships. They get the relationships, and the relationship doesn't mean anything. I've had people say, if my wife will come back to me, I'll be the best fella. And then she comes back, and in 2 weeks, he's the same as he always was. Acquiring the relationship doesn't mean nearly as much as the relationship itself. And then I also want to say this. Most love is satisfying an appetite, and it's generated by an atmosphere. Most love is satisfying an appetite and generated by an atmosphere. A gracious woman, Ishah, is the woman retaineth, Tamak, T-A-M-A-K, honors, Kabod, K-A-B-O-D, and a gracious woman retaineth honor. And a strong man, Arites, A-R-I-Y-T-S, that's a violent, it means tyrannical, terrible, violent, retains, Tamak again, riches, Osher, O-S-H-E-I. So in other words, a woman is known by being gracious. The strong man is known by his wealth. In other words, he isn't as gracious as a woman. That's what this proverb is about. Next time, we will deal with the merciful man that doeth good to his own soul. But he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Now, we've been asked for about 4 weeks if I would read that poem, Don't Quit. I keep forgetting to bring the book, so I'll close by reading it. And this person thought that people at this time of year could use it anyway, so I'm going to read it. Think of graciousness. Think of God's love that goes beyond atmosphere, that goes beyond being loved, that goes beyond need, and think of God's love that has its basis in giving itself away. And think of that for just a moment, because what God has called you to do, many people drop out of school, many people drop out of a marriage, many people drop out of sacred friendships, and many people quit things they shouldn't quit. When the cup is turned to wormwood and the wormwood turns to gall, when your walking turns to stumbling and the stumbling to a fall, when you've climbed the highest mountain, yet the Alps arise rough and tall, don't quit. When the path ahead is crooked and the road's too rough to tread, when the best upon the table is replaced by sorrow's bread, when you've crossed some troubled waters, yet a Mara is just ahead, don't quit. When the vultures have descended and disturbed your downy nest, when sweet fruit has changed to thistle, while the thorns disturbed your rest, when a deep to deep is calling, and when failure seems your best, don't quit. When the Lord has cleansed the table, then he takes away the fat, and the best wine has been taken till you find an empty vat. When another fills the throne room where once you proudly sat, don't quit. When your health is feeling sickly and the medicine tastes bad, when your fellowship is lonely and your happiness is sad, when your warmth is getting colder and your clouds your sunshine clad, don't quit. When you find your wins are losses, that all your gains are lacks, when ill things never come alone and all your troubles run in packs, when your soul is bruised and battered from the tempter's fierce attacks, don't quit. Be not weary in well-doing, for due season brings the grain. He who on the Lord has waited shall never run in vain. The just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Don't quit. You know, the person who gets counsel properly, who is gracious, the person who is not a talebearer, the persons whose motives are properly regulated by the Word of God, just doesn't quit. They just don't quit anything that God calls them to do. They're not quitters. They're not quitters in the spring. They're not quitters in the summer. They're not quitters when finances are embarrassing. They're not quitters when they can't get a job. They pray and believe. They're not quitters when they're accused falsely. They're not quitters when things are going wrong in their apartment. They just don't quit. When things have been bad for a long time in the marriage, they just don't quit. Because Jesus Christ never quit on us sinners. And with his Spirit and power and gracious love, we don't quit on one another.
Wow. My gosh. Jesus Christ never quit on any one of us. I love those that last remark he made. Jesus Christ never quit on any one of us. Our satisfaction, this is amazing. This is really an amazing thought here that he started off with on the third clip. Our satisfaction comes from loving, not always looking to be loved. Think about the society that we live in right now. Think of the environment that we live in. It's an environment where people are looking to be satisfied from others, from people, from things, from stimulation, and almost an entitlement that you need to satisfy me. You need to, the people around me need to satisfy me. And yet God's economy is just the opposite. He's just the opposite. He says that he that waters will himself be watered. Proverbs 11:25, Isaiah 58, if you will pour out your soul to the hungry, then shall the light rise in your obscurity, and the darkness shall break forth. And that whole thought about where we find our satisfaction is, is so key, because as Pastor said, many people stop loving once they acquire the relationship. Think about this, teenage. Think about young people. A guy will spend months and months trying to acquire a relationship with a girl, but once he has her, then he stops loving her. Isn't that interesting? And think about the culture that we live in today. How many young people sleeping around? They look for a relationship. Once they have that relationship, they stop loving that person. They lose their interest in that person. And yet the love of God is so much, it's just the opposite of that, Pastor Tom.
It's interest love, which is really not, you know, really is really not the heart of love, you know. So it only lasts so long. You know, I was thinking about when Pastor was saying that, the time I was on Mission Field America years ago, in Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm sorry. But I remember it was a crisis time in my life, because I was a lot by myself with my family, and I was coming to grips with this whole idea of, you know, reaching out to the lost, etc. And I remember God teaching me about love and teaching me to love people, which I think has to be cultivated. At least in my life, it had to be. And it's just like these other things. Like, do I have time to cultivate love in my own heart? You know, and I remember God teaching me to go out, go downtown, and just look at people. Just sit somewhere you can find a place to sit down. And just watch people, and then watch individuals, and try to think about what their life might be about. You know, you're not invading their privacy, but what I realize is that people, just by the looks on their faces, and just by, you know, looking at the kind of clothes they're wearing or whatever is going on with them, you can learn a lot. And my heart just started going out to people. I remember just starting to really think, wow, man. And then I just started talking to people, because it enabled me. And I think it was true love. I think it was God's love for them that was coming through me. And it was a beginning for me, you know. And I was a Christian for a long time. I mean, I was even a pastor. So, but I'm learning how to love now for the first time. And I remember... Then every time I would go, I'm just like Pastor was saying, when you talk, make sure that it's my love, make sure that it's love. But for a while it was establishing a habit or learning something, and, you know, and just, you know, making sure that, you know, anyhow, you know what I'm saying. It was growing in learning how to love people. And obviously, from Dr. Stevens' message, it takes time, and we just have to give God the time to do it and to learn how to do it. So anyhow, whatever. So just a couple of thoughts.
Mm. Yeah, doesn't it mean to sit where they sit? Remember that message?
It's part
years
of it.
Ago,
definitely.
Sit where they sit. Just to remind you, our phone number. If you want to call in and make a comment, feel free to give us a call, 1-800-338-7060. That's toll-free in the United States and Canada. And then outside of the United States and in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. And we've got a few comments here from Ara Shishmanian. Thank you, Pastor Stevens, for your faithfulness. Amen. What a legacy that he has left. And Marion, thank you for your edifying comments toward us. And she said, I love that poem, and we do too, that poem, Don't Quit. Can't we still hear pastor's voice from the pulpit? Don't quit.
Yeah.
You know, whatever happens, we don't quit. We don't quit on our wives, on our relationship, on our marriage. He mentioned we don't quit on our jobs. We don't quit on our church when things get rough. We don't quit on our kids when they disappoint us. We just don't quit, because in 1 Corinthians 13:8, it says love never fails.
Yeah.
And that word means that love never gives up. It never stops. It never quits. God never stops loving us. He never stops loving us. And he never stops giving us grace.
Amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing the things he listed also as the reasons people quit. And, you know, I could just check them off, every one of them. Yep. I quit that time, yeah. That was the reason, yep. Yeah. After quitting 5,000 times, the message makes a lot of sense to me now. But thank God what you said is we can quit, but God never quits on us.
No.
And it's getting to know the heart of God and allowing, you know, his character and nature to be built into our lives is the only thing that enables me to not quit. You know, it's like I see it from a different vantage point, and come to realize that all of these things could just be calculated against my life to cause me to quit. So I'm not going to quit.
Yep.
Yeah. So. And then I always had the question, you know, how does God get us out of something then? Well, I think he knows how, you know, but it's, you're going to have to get me out of it because I'm not quitting. You know, that's the attitude we get after a while. I'm just going to keep going. You got to stop me, God. So.
Wow. Was it 2 Timothy 2:13? It says, even if we believe not, he remains faithful.
Yeah.
He cannot deny himself. So I don't know how many times I've heard Pastor Love say, when we throw the towel in, God throws the towel back at us.
That's a great
When we throw in the towel, God throws it back. And but that, because what? Because faithful is he who calls us, who also will do it. I mean, isn't that the bottom line? Faithful is he that calls us, who also will do it.
Yeah.
You know? That's why we're still here.
Yeah.
God didn't quit on us.
There's nothing, and you know, there's nothing to lose. For us, there's nothing to lose. What am I going to lose, my life? Well, yeah, I mean, okay. Once I get through that hurdle mentally, you know, it's like, what's going to stop me? Yeah, just go and get killed. Or, you know, I shouldn't say it that way, but, you know, I mean, in a sense, you know, it's like we don't care, right? And we care, it's but true. We don't care, you know?
It's so true. Yeah, I mean, it's again, it's kind of like, 1 Corinthians 13 is really, if you wanted to sum this whole message, it really is 1 Corinthians. It's really, it's Christ's love for us. How love's, it's a love that doesn't quit on us. And because it doesn't quit on us, we don't quit on the people that God's put in our path either.
Yeah.
You know, we don't quit on the people that God's put in our path, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Ukrainian people right now. Mm-hmm. They're kind of at this precipice, you know, this juncture in their lives. How far are we going to go with, you know? And God bless them. I'm praying for these precious people. I couldn't imagine something like what's happening there, happening in our neighborhoods. I just, you know, it's just very hard for me to think about. But amazing, amazing, amazing that they have a determination. And, they could hear our pastor, don't quit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't quit.
Hey, Lord, why don't we just close in a quick prayer just for that? Lord, we pray for the Ukrainian people. Thank you that already we've seen your love manifest in so many practical ways. Just continue to pour it on to those precious people in the Ukraine, Lord. Thank you that your love never quits on any one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Join us tomorrow.